You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Zach Bechtold and Matt Franks. If you'd like to learn more about the Bearded Theologians, you can go online at beardedtheologians.com, where we have past podcasts, blogs, and a couple of items for sale. So check us out, beardedtheologians.com. Thank you for listening, and enjoy this week's show.
You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
So this week on the podcast, we're continuing our sermon series called Table Talks. It's a 5-week series that we've kind of put together to have conversations that we have around the table. And we have various questions that we're going to reflect on over the next few weeks. And last week, we talked a little bit about why church. And this week, we're setting ourselves up for suffering as we answer that question, why does God allow suffering? Zach, as you think about that question, what comes up for you?
I feel sad for our listeners because they endure suffering for 15 minutes each week when they listen to the podcast. No, what makes me think about this question, or when I think about this question, why does God allow suffering? It's a common question that I have received all throughout my ministry, if not even before I was in ministry. I feel like it's a common question of people of, if God is such a loving God, why? Why do bad things happen? Why does suffering happen? Why did this happen? And it's a really, really hard question to answer in a 15-minute podcast. It's a really hard question to answer over lifetime, right? In my elevator pitch answer is certainly not deep enough and profound enough to be to get anybody through anything, any suffering. But at the core of who I am, I don't believe that God allows suffering or causes suffering. I don't think God's in the business of that. And I firmly disagree with folks who take kind of the test and trial theological approach to God of, I'm suffering because God's testing me. I don't know about that. For me, that just doesn't jive. And so when I think about why does God allow suffering, my men's Bible study this week had a great question of, does evil exist? And I think that's what this question, I think it's the same question. It's just framed in a different way. Rather than God allowing suffering to happen, does evil exist in this world in a way that causes suffering? And that I can say yes to. One of our core beliefs as Methodists is to work to end evil and injustice. And we believe that because, yeah, there is evil in this world. People are capable of such evils against each other, against creation, and everything in between. And to struggle and wrestle with, does God allow that, or why does God allow that? It's hard. And I think for me, it's the reframing of not so much God allowing it, but why is evil? Why do we choose that path at times, or those actions at times? It's tough. Matt, what are your non-rambly thoughts about it?
I find it interesting that you went the evil route, because when I think of suffering, I think of people who are, you know, suffering in pain. As someone who's coming out of a season where I spent, you know, 3 years in, you know, pain, where I could barely walk, and you know, just spending a week with people who could barely have food to eat and had, you know, not great living spaces, and talking about their suffering, and you know, the thought of evil. I mean, it was there when I talked about this a few weeks ago, but I leaned into more of having people recognize that their suffering is suffering, and that suffering is suffering is suffering. And that we shouldn't try to quantify suffering and say that one person's suffering is worse than another's, but right, to sit on the dung heap. And instead of, if we're the friends in the story of Job, yeah, and being encouragers and helping them in the midst of their life and faith, or if we're on the dung heap, leaning in and remaining faithful. One of my favorite books that I love to give out, and it's actually, I don't have a copy here anymore because I keep giving them out. I actually keep it digitally because then I don't give it away, because it deals with this question, is Adam Hamilton's book, Why? Making Sense of God's Will. Our friend, not friend of the podcast, he has this great line in his book on the topic of suffering. He says, the sweeping message of the Bible is not a promise that those who believe in God and do good will not suffer. Instead, the Bible is largely a book about people who refuse to let go of their faith in the face of suffering. And to me, like when I think about faith, like that's what faith is. In the face of suffering, you know, are you leaning in to God more? Or are you pulling back at anger? Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. You're pulling back. You're angry at God. And I would even say that in the midst of those, that suffering, it's not pulling away from God that we need to do. It's leaning in and being fully present as best we can, making the most out of our situation and, finding God in the midst of it. And maybe if we're not going through suffering and I talked about this a little bit in my sermon, maybe if we're not going through suffering per se, how can we help those around us that are suffering? How can we be people that can help alleviate suffering in the space that we occupy?
Certainly. Well, and you're right. Suffering is whatever it is we're going through. And when we think about grief, or when we experience folks who are going, you know, through homelessness, through hunger, food insecurities, things like that, who are truly physically suffering, it's not our job to quantify or qualify their level of suffering. It's our job to be there, right? Because there will be a day we go through the same thing, maybe not exactly the same thing they're going through, but grief is going to be there, and the way that we suffer through grief and handle grief is going to be different than the next person. And it's not our job to say, well, you got to do it like me, or their job to say, you got to do it like me. It's just our job to show up. Right. And I think about, I think about, the Psalms, right? Half the letters or songs in the book of Psalms are of David or whomever wrote the Psalm of suffering. Why, oh God, where are you? What's going on? Why have you left me? And I think sometimes we fall into that same rhetoric when crappy stuff happens, when we're suffering in such a way of, where, oh God, where are you? Why have you left me? Why are you doing this to me? And maybe that's the only prayer we have, right? But maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the thing we've been taught, right? That God did this to you. And we all know that the theology is out there that if you just follow Jesus, everything will be good. And so when bad things happen, when suffering occurs, well, why is God testing me? Why is God doing this? And I don't know. I think that's a different question than how long, O Lord? I think that's a different question than where are you? To place blame on God as to why suffering happens or is allowed, as opposed to looking for where God and hope and grace are in the moments of suffering, and the people around us who are trying to help, trying to be there, trying to be present, and within ourselves, trying to wade through the muck and mire of life.
Well, and I think that, you know, I think one of the questions that gets asked, I know I get asked, is how do you help people who are suffering? And yeah. I think sometimes, one, you have to identify what the suffering is, mm-hmm. but let the person that you're wanting to help acknowledge that, because it may not be what you think it is.
Correct.
But I also think, you know, you don't have to have the answers, but you can just sit with them.
Yeah.
My comment of being better friends than Job's it rings true. I can't tell you the number of times. It does.
Hard to do. They're so bad.
They're horrible.
They're terrible.
But yet I think there's something we can learn from that. And I know I've been in some crazy ministry situations where I just showing up and being a presence, I didn't do anything. I may have helped with like getting their coat or, you know, just whatever it is. I mean, I don't have the answer. I'm just an unanxious presence. I think that if we can practice that a little more, we don't have to have the answers. We don't have to say anything. You can just be with them and help or say things when you can. I know like in my family, when we've gone through some of the things that we've been through with my family, my parents and my grandparents, you know, humor helps us through. But also naming it too, and saying that this sucks. Like, I think that that's, we've got to acknowledge that. But also let the person suffering talk about their suffering and try not to impose yourself on them, like, and see what you see. Cause that doesn't help them, because you don't, you're not in their skin. And I think sometimes when we see people suffering, I'll use homeless ministries for this, is that we try to, we want to fix them by thinking of doing these things for them when that's not really what they need.
Right.
And not even just homeless ministries, but just in, even in the parish, how often are people suffering and share that they're suffering, but our fix isn't the right fix because we're not fully engaging and fully listening and fully being present.
I think that's it, is maybe our human nature, because suffering makes us uncomfortable, we try to fix it rather than letting people sit in the ashes and the dung, as you say, of suffering. And that's hard, because I don't like to see people hurting and sad and suffering and grieving and all of the things. I don't think anybody's comfortable with that. And so I think our go-to is, I got to say the right thing. I got to do the right thing. I got to make this stop so that I feel better about what's going on, rather than letting that person sit and be present and grieve appropriately and in healthy ways. I mean, that was Job's friends. They wanted to fix it. And their idea of fixing it was like, hey, Job,
just give up.
Just give up. Just curse God and go, man. Like, that's the thing. You know, and we find all of the harmful rhetoric that we say as people all the time. When people, especially in death, when we lose loved ones, we say really dumb things because we're uncomfortable and we don't know what to say and we just want to fix it. And showing up, letting people be sad, letting people grieve in the ways that they need to grieve is the most important thing, rather than us just trying to fix it. And so that's hard. That's really hard.
Yeah. And I think that that's a great place to land for us today, is asking ourselves that question. How are we sitting with those that we know that are suffering? How are we being present for those?
How do we show up?
Yeah. How do we show up? You and I are both social media people. We spend a lot of time on there. You know, there was a post floating around about grief groceries, and I think that, there are ways that we can help people without being intrusive. I know, like for me, when my mom was dying the last 3 months, one of the greatest things the church I served at the time did was provide me snacks for my drive.
Yep.
They didn't say a whole lot. I mean, they said that, hey, we're here for you if you need us and that sort of thing. But the best thing that they did for us was provide me snacks for my drive, you know, and that was simple. And, you know, nobody told me anything. I will say somebody did tell my sister, though, that if my sister prayed hard enough, my mom would no longer be suffering, which that's a great example of what you don't do.
That's exactly.
So with that in mind, you know, ask yourself, how are you present for the suffering around you? Because there are people suffering around you. Some are honest about it, like Job, and some are not, and they're holding on to it. And I think that that's something we can encourage ourselves to just be present. You don't have to have the answers, but just be present. I think that's a great place to land today.
I like it.
Especially since both our baseball teams are in the cellar. We both can grieve together now.
Glad you're joining my party.
With the weeping and gnashing of teeth and ripping of clothing. So, you know, encourage you to check us out on thebeardedtheologians.com, where you can find all of our great content, and you can pick up a couple of last minute gift, Father's Day gift options, or ordination gifts, or all the things that are happening in the month of July and June and May, or whatever, whenever you're listening to this. You know, it's a great place to find new and exciting material. And so for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Matt Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out.
I want you to subscribe and like this video and push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.